Today on Real Radio.
What do our children know about our spending priorities? And I thought about that. Will I dump 50 bucks at a dinner or a movie or a basketball and then give God $1.50 on Sunday and my kids watch it?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through this fascinating book known as 1 Samuel. We're now taking a look at the second half of chapter 2, which shows quite a contrast between young Samuel and the two apostate sons of Eli. One essential lesson in all of this is that bad behavior can result in, well, let's just say it, bad results. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Be Careful What You Plant.
Reinforce it. If you say, look, you're grounded, or you have to get a spanking for this, go to your room, I'll be there in the moment. You know, personally, I have found that when you say, now you've done wrong, go to your room, because you're going to get a spanking soon. Do you know what? 90% of your job as a parent is now done. Because little Junior walks all the way down the hallway, which is only like 30 feet, but now it's 300 miles for him. And though the house may be quiet, you can hear a funeral dirge playing in the background. And he goes into his room, and many times you walk in there, and this is certainly true when the children are young, their hearts are so tender, they're already starting to cry. You know what? That is great, because now it's like you can spank them with your finger. Why? Because you've already accomplished your task. You're there. Any parent that gets or thinks that they've got to whack their child to get through, something's wrong. Now, if your child's not listening and won't listen, we are to certainly spank our kids at certain ages. I think after a certain age, you know, our kids could spank us. But you're still the parent, so what do you do? Well, you know what? I have two teenage daughters. And if I were to spank them, which I don't anymore, but if I were to spank them, they would rather have me spank them than to unplug the telephone. Anything but the phone! Ah. And then rather than resist correction, we need to understand that it is good for the child and realize it's to both advantage the child and us. By the way, a great verse, Proverbs 27 verse 6 tells us, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I think that's good toward a parent or about a parent. If a parent loves that child, he's going to discipline that child. Second point, verses 26 to 29, determine to cooperate with God. Eli didn't do that, but we're gonna. Determine to cooperate with God. How so? First of all, realizing that God knows everything. Verses 26 and 27, God knows everything. It says, and the child Samuel grew. Watch the contrast. The child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. Verse 27a says, then a man of God came to Eli. We'll stop right there. While Eli's sons were fading away with Eli, Samuel was growing. And by the way, his time was coming. Jesus knows the direction in life that you and I should take. He knows everything. While Eli and his kids are fading away because of sin, Samuel is growing up. There's a great contrast to this. Eli didn't pray, Hannah did. By the way, little Sammy wore a cool little ephod. From the day that she took him to the temple and gave him back to God, he wore a little priestly ephod. An ephod is like it's like a skirt with a dress top. It's about middle of the thigh, and it's sleeveless, and it's kind of like a dress, ephod. The priest wore them. And here's the cool thing. Hannah dresses her little boy up as a priest. Why? Because according to Hannah, he is a priest. Why? He's going to be one. Why? She dedicated him to God. Eli's sons, on the other hand, we don't know what they're wearing. It's not even said. It's not even told to us. Sammy's worshiping God and serving the Lord at such a young age. He may, according to the scripture, not even know God yet. We'll see that in our study. Where Eli's sons were very familiar with God, but they didn't worship at all. In fact, they robbed people of worship while little Sammy was worshiping. The contrast is huge. Jesus knows exactly the direction that you should take. And from your birth, he has been leading and steering and guiding you to a predetermined work of his. It's the way God works. It's awesome. In 2 Thessalonians 3:5, the Bible says, "Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." Wow. And then, of course, you know this verse. You're waiting for me to say this one. Proverbs 3, verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." See, when you get wise in your own eyes, you're going to call the shots, and you're not going to listen to God, and you're going to get in trouble. Example, Eli's sons. Important. We have a second consideration under this point, and that is God has provided all that we need in verse 27 to 28. It says, "Now the man of God came to Eli, and he said to him, 'Thus says the Lord.'" Listen to this. Wow, this is powerful. "Thus saith the Lord now." Now God is speaking. "Did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense and to wear an ephod before me? Listen, did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire?" Three indictments. Did I not reveal myself? The answer is yes, you did. Did I not choose him, that is Aaron, a priest, which your kids, Eli, and you are from? Didn't I choose? Didn't I reveal? Did I not give? Boy, do you hear the tone of the Lord in this? Did I not? God supplies everything we need. He's saying, haven't I done it? I gave you the priesthood, Eli. I gave you sons. Your very life should be what people long to be like. Wasn't I enough for you? Didn't I make a promise? I've extended my hands out. I gave you everything I could. And you see now why Eli's boys have come out the way they are. Eli, God is indicting him. Have I not done these things? Have I not provided for you? And it's amazing to me to consider what Eli's sons had heard and seen as sons of the priest who were in line to be priests themselves. God provides all that we needed. And listen, Eli had the wonderful, awesome witness of God. And God says, hey, didn't I? That is so serious. Well, in verse 29, we see that God desires holiness from us, which Eli had failed to do. Look what he says, verse 29. We learn by contrast. "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place?" Number two, "and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people." Wow, two things. Number one, why do you kick? The word kick means to resist, avoid, neglect, to worship. Why do you resist worship at my sacrifice and my offerings? Why do you resist? You kick against me. You don't want to be near me. That's number one indictment. Number two, and you honor your sons more than me. In other words, you have idols enthroned in your heart and they're your boys. Wow, that's tough stuff, isn't it? Man, God is laying it to the root of the tree. And God is holding Eli accountable to this. Listen, to communicate to our children that God can, in our lives, settle for maybe second place in our lives or third place or fourth place maybe, is a very dangerous thing. When you communicate to your kids like Eli was communicating to his boys, "Boys, you're number one, you're on top, you're the guys." God is saying, this is the word of God, God is saying, you know what the problem is here? Number one, you're not into worshiping me. Number two, you desire your boys more than me. That kind of gives us some insight. You desire your boys more than me, and that's why you've taken the soft road regarding your boys. If you would have had me up front, your boys would have come out fine, is what's implied. Now, let me say this very carefully. You may be a wonderful, godly parent, and your children have grown up, and they've gone astray. And you say, where did I go wrong? My friend, you probably didn't go wrong anywhere. There comes a point in time, no matter how good you brought your child up, they may still decide to be absolutely stupid. And God will not hold you accountable for that. Now, as a parent, does that make you feel any better? No, because when your kids are hurting, you're hurting. But to communicate to our kids, as Eli did to his, that God is somewhere maybe second or third or fourth, is to ruin our children. Somebody might say, yeah, but you know what? God's on my top 10 list. You know what? I love how Missler puts it. God doesn't want to be number one on a list of 10. God wants to be number one on a list of one. Huh. He doesn't want to be competing with number two or four. Matthew 6:33 says, to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to us. And I jotted some things down. Number one, Matthew 10:37. He who loves father, Jesus said, or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That doesn't mean God doesn't want you to love your kids. He just means that you're to love God first. These things I jotted down. What do our children know about our prayer life? That sends a message to them about where God is. What do our children know about our spending priorities? And I thought about that. Will I dump $50 at a dinner or a movie or a basketball and then give God $1.50 on Sunday and my kids watching? They're always watching. The other night we were out and I went into the men's bathroom at this place and you know, men's bathroom have stand-up things. You know that, ladies? And I'm waiting in line. It's like a rare, one of the first lines I've ever seen in the guy's bathroom in all my life. And there's this man, and he's going to the bathroom, and his little boy, probably about 4 years old, is patting him on the rear end because the kid's too short. He's patting him on the rear end going, "That a boy, Daddy. Good boy." It was the funny, and it, I was just dying. And good boy, Daddy. That a boy, Daddy. And when Daddy got done, he says, "Now wash your hands, Daddy." And I thought, this is great. This is great. Why? The little guy's watching everything, and he's noticing. Well, I know how Mommy taught me, and Daddy's doing it right. Good boy, Daddy. And so we say, you know, son, you got to put God first in your life, in everything. And we'll take our finances and blow it on something indulging, and then rip God off on Sunday. And that sends a message to our kids. Don't be mistaken. It does. What do our kids know about us reading our Bible? What about our kids seeing how we love others, our worship? What about our kids seeing what we love more than God? It's been said that what our children remember about us will be what they make as a habit for their life. Another commentator said, what they see of you outwardly determines what they'll do inwardly. Very important. And then it says at the end of verse 29, it says that they did these things, Eli, really, to make yourselves fat with the best of all. And by the way, we'll come to the chapter soon where Eli is so fat, he's so overweight, and you got to wonder, well, is it because his sons were ripping off all the food? Remember last time together in our study? Was it because his sons were ripping off all the food and bringing it home even to Pop? It's funny. It's almost a play on words here. To make yourself fat with the best of all. You're supposed to be a priest, and you're robbing people. They robbed the worshipers of God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and you have not kept them." God says, "Return to me, and I will return to you," says the Lord of hosts. "But you said, 'In what way shall we return? Will a man rob God?' Yet you have robbed me. But you say, 'In what way have we robbed you, God?' In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room for you to receive it." Isn't that awesome? Eli's sons had robbed. And then finally, third point, we'll end here. Respond to God in an act of worship. They didn't do it. Verses 30 to 36. First thing we see here, verses 30 to 32, respond to God in an act of worship because he's looking for a heart. The Bible says that God is scanning the earth looking for a man, that's a Mr. and Mrs. Man, someone in the family of man, whose heart is seeking him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. Verse 30, "Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever." This is the promise that God had made the priest of Israel, of which Eli was. "But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me, I shall lightly esteem. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house." That is not his arm, physically, his descendants. "So that there will not be an old man in your house. You will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever." This is God's judgment upon the line because of Eli's sin. It's amazing. Quickly, we've got to hurry through this. They had lost reverence for God. So what happens? 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." They didn't do that. We learn by contrast. They didn't do that. If you name the name of God, depart from the wrong stuff. Get away from it. Listen, if you're not strong enough to get away from the evil, tell your friend. Tell a Christian friend. Man, I hope you have a friend like this. Tell a friend. Say, "Listen, I'm struggling in this area in my life. Call me, follow me, whatever. Watch out for me. Depart from it." Proverbs 16 tells us, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil, and he who keeps his way preserves his own soul." That's a great bit of wisdom. Man, that's a great thing to give to your teenager at graduation or something, huh? "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil, and he who keeps his way preserves his own soul." And then Psalm 111, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his will." That's awesome. God is looking for a heart like that. We need to pray, "Lord, I want a heart like this." Verses 33 to 34, we're almost done. Respond to God in an act of worship because he's holy and just. "But any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them." This is the judgment of God. I'm not going to give you all the passages that we could look up on this for time's sake, but the reason why this judgment is levied, people, is not because God is upset, God is angry, and because he's got nothing better to do. The reason why this judgment is levied is because these guys had transgressed and transgressed God over and over again, and then finally God brought judgment because a parent would not. Even in Exodus 34, God pleads and he says, "Aren't I merciful? Aren't I slow to wrath? Aren't I compassionate?" And he is. He's loving and kind. Respond to God in an act of worship because he's forever faithful. Verse 35 says, and then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest. Now here, this is a prophetic utterance regarding not only Samuel, but ultimately Jesus Christ. Faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread and say, please put me in one of the priestly positions that I may eat a piece of bread. We end with this. God says, don't be deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Isn't it amazing that the chapter ends with this curse being pronounced against a rebellious family? Though religious, wayward from God, and the very thing that these boys were doing were ripping people off and having the choice things that were dedicated to God, God says, you know what? In the end, any of your descendants that do survive, Eli, in the end, they're going to come and beg just for a piece of bread. The scriptures say that I will visit the sins of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Two things. Number one, the fifth generation doesn't necessarily get off the hook. Well, it said third and fourth. It means perpetually. If the father sins, God will visit the children with the ramifications, the fruit of those sins. You say, oh my gosh, this is horrible. I know it's horrible. You want to break the chain? That's number two. You want to break that chain? God says if a father sins, the kids are going to do the same thing. Their lives are going to be cursed like Eli's boys. Onward. How do you break the curse? Number two, receive Jesus Christ and break that rule. Or I should say, stop that plague. Just like as it was, as the plague was sweeping the children of Israel. And Moses says, somebody get down there and make an offering quick and sacrifice unto God. And the moment where that priest made the offering, the blood, the killing, the plague stopped at the sacrifice, and all the rest of the people got to go free. But if the sacrifice wouldn't have been made, what would have happened? The people would have been completely judged. Wow. Hey, Dad, have you been a nincompoop in your life? You know what? Your sin will visit the sin of your children and your grandchildren and their children. Unless you come to Christ and that plague is stopped. Isn't that good news? It's beautiful news.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Be Careful What You Plant. It's a look at the second half of 1 Samuel chapter 2, where young Samuel is contrasted with the two apostate sons of Eli. Be careful what you plant. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this fascinating book known as 1 Samuel. And we'll continue with this verse-by-verse study on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, a couple years ago, we aired Pastor Jack's series through the Old Testament book of Joshua. And within that series was a mini-series based on chapter 7, and we called it Avoiding Defeat. Here's the deal. A lot of Real Radio listeners are still asking about that mini-series. So once again, we're offering Pastor Jack's series called Avoiding Defeat. Now, avoiding defeat will give you a better understanding of how to avoid the five steps that can lead to defeat, as well as the realization that the Christian life of unbroken victory over sin is God's will for His people. Our offer, for your gift to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-CD set called Avoiding Defeat. Whether you call, click, or write, mention it by name, Avoiding Defeat. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.